I told him you can't hide from computers forever.
He got burned once.
Already got one big expensive computer system in the storeroom. The only guy that could work it moved to L.A.
What good's a computer if nobody uses it?
I hear he's working on a new system.
He said he won't let his people work on anything he can't use himself.
Maybe this computer's different.
Macintosh has the power to change the way you feel about computers. The power to be your best.
I'll be.
Hello, and welcome to GoCast, the best 30-plus minute app conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Irfan Elijah. Joining me today, his calves have that perfect hair-to-muscle ratio that the ladies love. I love it too, dude, so much. Buster Gein is here.
Oh, hey, hello.
What's up, bud?
Thank you for complimenting my hiking calves. You know, I've been working on them a lot lately.
I can tell, man, those things are on point.
Thank you.
And
thank
every
you.
Time you walk, they just flex perfectly. That's why I'm always behind you on our hikes.
Dude, yeah. They bring the ladies and the men, you know, around.
That's true. Men want to have them. Ladies want to...
just touch them. Oh,
just want to touch them, calves, I guess? Huh? Is that a thing?
They want to rub calves, you know, both of our calves
calf,
on calves.
Calf rubbing the thing?
Yeah, it's a thing.
I've never tried that, man.
You should. It's sensual. Enlightened. It's like ASMR for your calves.
I'm going to give that a shot. Well, it's our first show of 2017.
Oh, shoot. Happy New Year. Go.
Happy New Year to you. Did you get bonkers on New Year's Eve?
No, I didn't. I'm a pretty chill person, so I didn't. Yeah. I didn't really do anything too wild.
I got crazy, dude. I watched like 3 movies that night,
and then fell asleep.
I fell asleep halfway through the first one.
Nice.
No, I made it all the way to the end.
You made it all the way to the end. Good
job. Oh yeah, I've got no problem staying up to midnight, man. I'm a night owl for sure.
Oh, nice.
So Leander Caney couldn't get his act together. He said he was having an internet outage. Apparently all of San Francisco is having an internet outage, according to Leander Caney. So he couldn't join us. We tried to get Lewis Wallace, a.k.a. the tiniest of Lewis, to join us. But he joined us right before we hit record, and he sounded like he was dying. I mean...
Literally
sounded like he was dying. And I was like, what are you doing here? You need to hang up and you need to go to see the doctor because I think you have black lung, like coal miner's lung or something.
I got the black lung pop.
So he's gone. So Buster and I are doing something we haven't done in a long time. We popped the tops, short shorts. We're getting into the hot tub and we're doing this show mano a mano.
Ooh, romantic style.
We've got our bubbly. We've clinked our glasses, and we're just going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And this show is packed. It is jam-packed. It's a big show. This show is almost as big as Alexie Heath's mom.
Action-packed with, you know, lots of fat.
Biggest show ever. So we're gonna do CES 2017. We're going to talk about CES because it's happening as we speak. And we got to at least mention some of the projects or products that are coming out because some of them are relevant to us. And some of them are the most ridiculous, stupid products you've ever heard of in your life. They've always got those ones as well. So we'll cover those. We're going to talk about the tech we're excited about in 2017 and what Apple can do better in 2017. I think I know what you're going to say. I think we're all kind of feeling the same way. So mm-hmm. I'm curious to hear what your thoughts are. Before we jump into the best of CES, let me go ahead and say thank you to Squarespace for supporting this episode. Are you setting new goals, starting a business, changing careers, or launching a creative project in 2017? Well, Squarespace gives you a powerful and beautiful online platform from which you can make your next move known to the world. They have everything you need to get a website up and running fast. You can launch one of their beautiful, award-winning designer templates, customize it, make it look uniquely yours, and you get excellent customer service too. 24/7 Squarespace award-winning customer service in case you get stuck. You can get a free domain name if you order a year of service. Plus, linking a domain to Squarespace is the easiest process I've ever gone through with any ISP. With any web host, and it's flexible. You can make any kind of website you want. You can make one for your creative services for your business, and you can make an e-commerce website. In fact, cultcloth.co is run on Squarespace, and it was so super simple to set up, and it basically just runs itself. It's really easy to use. Check it out at squarespace.com. Sign up for a 2-week free trial. You can build a website, use it, and if you like what you see, you could sign up for the service to continue your service and get 10% off with code CULTCAST at checkout, and you can save 10% off a month of service or a year of service, whichever you order. Squarespace.com. So, dude, I know you and I have both been tracking what's happening at CES this year.
Yeah.
I mean, we've both been searching for products this year.
Yeah, I'm glad I'm not there this year. It's nice to be able to search for products from the internet, you know?
It's so much easier, isn't it?
Oh, so much easier.
The hard part about CES is there's just, for anyone that's never been there before, it's so massive, it's actually kind of hard to comprehend how big it is. It's like going to Disney World.
Yeah, it's bigger, probably. I wouldn't be surprised if the amount of like floor space is bigger than Disney World.
Plus, they pack everyone so tightly in there.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
I kind of miss the parties, though.
Oh, the parties is... I don't even know if the parties are, like, the redeeming factor. Because that was, like, the one thing that would get me to go. Like, okay, you can go cover the show floor for till like, 4 or 5, and then you go to parties, and it's endless alcohol all night for free. And that was pretty cool.
But it's not endless alcohol for us, because we were always working. It was always endless alcohol for El Caney, who never did any work.
Who perched up at the bar.
Say that now that he's not here.
Yeah. He's sitting at the bar while we're all just working away.
Yeah, and we have like deadlines and stuff, and we're trying to like get stuff done, and he just is kicking it, you know, drinking like the fluorescent yellow martinis all night.
Uh-huh. See, I would still drink quite a bit myself, which is what makes CES so hard, is I would drink, because like that's like the only way to make it more pleasurable, is like, okay,
definitely.
I need 3 beers before I go and walk the showstoppers and of course, or whatever.
At the parties, they're always trying to get you to drink, right? Because they... Uh-huh. So, what you may not know about CES is for people that are reporting on stuff, you get treated like royalty while you're there. And there's all these events that happen within CES that are specific to the press. They're press-only events, but they're really huge events. And they invite press from all over the world into these huge banquet halls and have like lavish food and all you can eat, all you can drink, everything. And everyone's there with their booth trying to promote their product to you, trying to get press coverage, right? That's the game. And so you're getting schmoozed, you're getting boozed, you're getting wine dined and 67'd. Is that the
67'd,
phrase?
Huh? Okay. Yeah. I don't know what that is. You'll have to explain it and to me when I'm older.
I will. You've got a couple of years before I can explain that one to you. And it's fun, but you also got to get some work done, and it's hard to get work done when you're drinking and having a great time. But for me, the fun part was always, well, actually, there was two parts. Hanging out with you, Alex, and Leander, right? Just roaming around, having some drinks, having some fun. And then the Venetian. Man, I just love the Venetian.
You love the Venetian. I don't know why. I don't think the Venetian's that cool.
I think going to the Venetian is like going to Disneyland. It's like magical. It is. It takes you to another place. If you've ever been to Italy, the Venetian is a Italian-themed casino, hotel and casino. And on one of the lower levels, they have this, what would you call it? They're like a bunch of storefronts, and there's a canal running through it, and they have this like the ceiling painted with clouds.
The gondola rides and stuff.
They have gondola rides and stuff. It's like a inside but outdoor market feeling.
It's to make you feel like you're in Venice, you know?
Yeah.
On the waterfront.
It's just cool. It's cool. And I love that aesthetic and the feeling you get when you're just kind of hanging out there. Plus, dude, the Venetian is plush. So nice inside.
It's okay.
It's one of the nicer hotels. They moved it to, didn't they move to the MGM, which is kind of farther off the strip, and I don't think it's as nice.
What, the CES? But, no, there's still stuff at the Venetian, I think. There was last year, and there's
but
like...
But it used to be based at the Venetian, and now it's just like...
Yeah, now it's at the convention center. Las Vegas Convention Centers.
Anyway, we digress. So it's hard to keep track of all the products at CES when you're there because there's just so much stuff. It's hard to unearth the cool stuff. It's actually a lot easier to do it when you're not there. Mm-hmm. So Buster and I have been tracking what we think are the big themes, the big products of the show. And I got to say, I think you're going to agree with me here because we talked a little bit about this before we started recording. It's kind of one of those off years for CES. It doesn't really feel like it's as cool as it has been in the last two or three years.
Well, see, I definitely felt that way last year covering the show. It kind of felt like, man, is this like the... But it, I don't know. I think everybody asked that question the last 5 years. Like, is CES finally dying? So this year's CES, yeah, it doesn't feel like there's much excitement. I'm trying to think of cool things that have come out, and it's... I'm drawing a blank. There were some headphones, some dongles.
Dude, I have been specifically looking for cool things, and I have not seen a single
I think one cool thing
that kind of stole the show.
Yeah, I would say I'm interested in Panasonic's GH5 camera. They unveiled that. And so that looks good. Like, it looks like an awesome video camera, Micro Four Thirds video camera. So, but it's like $2,000. So that's one thing.
It looks like a beast. On paper, it looks like a beast. And for those people that may not be familiar with, I guess, GH line, their GH4 is a favorite of a lot of people who do video because it's inexpensive, it does 4K, it looks great, it's just a great video camera.
And like
even though it's a
codec for it
camera.
Is like super great too or something. Like the video files it produces are super nice for video editing, I guess.
Plus it has clean HDMI out if you want to use an external recorder like an Atomos, you know, Ninja Flame or something.
Yeah.
So they've really fine-tuned it to be a great video camera, and now they're coming out with the GH5, which is the new version, and it looks even better than the GH4. They've made it bigger, which I actually personally like. They've increased the frame rate to 60 frames a second for 4K, and it looks like it's going to be a fantastic video camera. So I think I agree with you there. I think the GH5 might be one of the biggest takeaways from CES in what is a huge swamp of Alexa products this year. Tons or Echo products.
Yeah,
you know?
Lots of little Alexa-powered speakers. I was like LG came out. I think it was LG or somebody came out with like a little robot. It looks like a robot, but it's powered by Alexa. It just looks ridiculous. I don't know why you would buy it, but... And that's what
I was just thinking that. Why would you want that?
Well, that's what CES produces. It's like every company comes out with just like their, I don't know, their Me Too product, it feels like, every year. You know, like everything is kind of the same. There's very few products that stand on their own, you know?
Yeah, there's very few products generally that are novel.
Yeah.
Everyone's tried to ride a trend. They tried to predict what's going to be popular. Mm-hmm. And remember years ago, it was 3D televisions. And 3D televisions, I always said, were going to eventually fizzle because they just weren't cool. They were never cool.
Mm-mm.
And everyone had to push their 3D product because they weren't sure what was going to happen, right? And you got to market something. So they came out with all these 3D TVs, and eventually those all disappeared. And now it's Alexa-themed products. So people who are copying the Amazon Echo TVs that have Alexa functionality built in. I think GE released a refrigerator. There's Alexa lamps.
Which,
there's 4K televisions now that use Alexa.
It's kind of a brilliant move by Amazon that they opened it up and are letting third parties do it too, which I think that's something that Apple should definitely try and do with Siri, allowing other companies to put Siri in speakers. Because Apple's probably not going to make its own smart speaker. It's probably not worth a lot of money to them. But... Mm-hmm. Like allowing other companies to tap into Siri, I think that would be really powerful for them. And obviously, a lot of companies
want to. It is an interesting move, isn't it? That the Echo has the Alexa assistant built in, and now they're taking the software out and licensing it to people to make other products.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious to see how well it works because the Echo understands you so well whenever you call its name or give it a command. I wonder if it's going to work as well in a TV or a frickin' refrigerator. By the way, I mean, who needs a refrigerator with Alexa? I just don't see the usefulness of it.
Well, you can be like, Alexa, do I have any lettuce in my fridge? No lettuce. Okay, order me some from Amazon.
And maybe that's where we're headed, but I don't know if the refrigerator is that smart to know what's inside of it.
Okay, you're probably right.
it's probably going to be like, Alexa, turn on... the heat, but you're doing it on your refrigerator.
Raise the temperature up 10 degrees for me, Alexa. Oh, yes.
The fridge or in the house?
Oh, in the fridge, because I'm very specific, you know, particular about how my meats are stored and stuff, you know.
My meats need to be at exactly 42 degrees. Exactly, precisely. Alexa, lower. Dispense me 4 ice cubes, please, and 4 ounces of water. Maybe that's going to be the hook. There's going to be some like refrigerator tie-in stuff. What is it with people trying to build in cool tech into refrigerators? Stop trying to make that a thing. Like, we don't need screens on your refrigerator. No, we don't need it to. You don't need all that crap. It's just a refrigerator.
Yeah. No, it's crazy. Like you're joking about like, you can tell it to pour you certain ounces, but I've seen on some friends' new fridges, now you like have the water thing and it tells you exactly how much you've poured, and like there's all these crazy features. It has like a lock on it so the kids can't mess with it. And it's like, dude, why can't a fridge just be a fridge? Like, why does everything have to be a smart something now? It's kind of annoying.
That is it. That is exactly what's happening at CES.
Oh, there was a smart toaster I saw, a Bluetooth toaster that somebody freaking launched at CES. So
Griffin.
Stupid.
Griffin. The Griffin Smart Toaster is a $100 Bluetooth low energy toaster that connects to a companion app, which features a slider so you can adjust how much you want to burn your bread.
I mean, you still got to go up to the toaster and put your bread in. So you're still going to have to fiddle with the knobs for the temperature and everything. Like, what is good about making it smart?
No, you won't have to fiddle with the knobs. Now you put the bread in, and then you
open your
phone. Bust out your phone.
And yeah, it's like it completely complicates the whole process.
It makes it worse.
So
yeah,
stupid.
Exactly.
Like, oh,
it makes it worse.
You can't adjust the temperature from the toaster. You got to pull up the app. It's so ridiculous.
Well, once you've pinpointed the perfect toasting combination, you can save it to your toast cooking profile on the app.
Uh-huh.
Being serious. The app will give a notification, will ping your phone when the bread is finished in case you don't want to stand there for 2 minutes.
Or hear it. Yeah.
Right? It's like all these
or
features
come back
that,
to it,
that you know, no one needs. They're building in all these features that really no one needs.
Oh, it's like there was a smart hairbrush too, like to help you remember to brush your hair. We saw that 1 year with like a smart toothbrush and a smart spoon.
The smart fork. Remember
the smart fork? That's what it was. It's just so
These are the products I love at CES.
I do too.
They paid some engineer like hundreds of thousands of dollars to figure out how to make some ordinary object do all these technologically savvy things that no one will ever use.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the smart hairbrush epitomizes that. It is a brush that relies on motion sensors for monitoring your brushing patterns.
Oh, God.
Conductivity sensors for spotting whether your hair is wet or dry. And a microphone? It has a microphone for identifying manageability, frizziness, dryness, split ends, and breakage. The brush also vibrates. You actually may need this for your beard. You're going to have the most glorious, well-brushed, vibrant, glowing beard.
The funniest thing. So they put a microphone on it just to hear like the friction, and so it can tell whether
it's
going smoothly or horrible and stuff. That's so funny.
And some engineer who undoubtedly hates his life had to figure out what it sounds like when you brush your hair too quickly.
Yeah.
The brush also vibrates if you use it too vigorously. And all of this data gets sent to your iPhone, where you are given a hair quality score, and it tells you which parts of your brushing needs work, and offers hairstyling products to buy. Now, you see, what's funny is I pimped this Sonicare toothbrush last week that does a lot of stuff that it sounds similar to this, but is it actually useful? You know, like you need to know brushing technique, perhaps to increase, you know, like your dental hygiene. But dude, do you really need to buy a product that will help you brush your hair more appropriately? Maybe there's something we're missing, because neither of us have really long hair.
Yeah, I really am not qualified to comment on hair products. So
that's right.
But I just
I know we've got like 10 female listeners, and hopefully one of them has long hair. And if you do, and this actually sounds useful to you, please tweet me. I'm at Erfon, E-R-F-O-N. I need to hear that this is a product that needs to exist,
mm-hmm.
because it just sounds like your typical CES swill.
Dude, it just sounds completely ridiculous.
I think along the lines of terrible CES products is a product called Flow, which is a wearable piece of technology that measures dust, exhaust fumes, and other harmful gases, as well as the household chemicals you might encounter indoors. So it's a portable air quality monitor that will alert you if your air is not as clean as
it could be.
I don't know, a mountain spring air.
And then also, what do you do when that happens? Like, oh, you're in shitty air right now.
Yeah, exactly. What are you gonna leave? You're like, I can't work here anymore. Let me bust out my mask. Air quality. And I when I first read about this product, I was like, here is another. I know we're being harsh, but let's just be real here, people. Here's another totally pointless use of technology. Like, this is doing something that no one needs. And then it occurred to me, you know who needs this? Lewis needs this.
Why?
He can wear it in the office after Leander eats lunch, and he can know when Leander's flatulence has reached dangerous levels.
Yeah.
And he can put on his mask. Or, it's time to evacuate. Abandoned ship, dude. Or it's like windows, open windows, open windows. And you're like, okay.
I smell it. I got it.
Got to crack. What's SBV, dude?
SBV.
Silent but violent. You know, like, you don't want to be breathing those fumes. What if they're, they don't have noxious, particular odor to them?
They're not
odiferous. Yeah, you got to make sure. But you still don't want to breathe them.
No.
You're still losing brain cells. You got to make sure you can protect yourself from that. Let me see. Is there any other ridiculous product? Okay, so we got to mention the OWC doc.
Oh, that thing?
Rather.
Oh, my goodness.
Which actually sounds useful until you see what it looks like.
And it's gigantic.
It looks absurd.
Yeah, for people who don't know or didn't see it, we featured it on Cult of Mac. And it's basically just like it doubles the thickness of the bottom of your MacBook and puts, I think, a USB-A port, an SD card reader, and 4 terabytes.
And flash storage.
Yeah, onto your MacBook.
An Ethernet jack.
Yeah. And it's supposed to look seamless, but, dude, it makes your MacBook look like something out of 1999. Just gigantic.
It does. Yeah. Prince was in his prime. That's how your MacBook will look when you're done with it. It would be like, hey, man, where's Prince? Yeah, so it makes your MacBook almost an inch thick and you know, from around a depth of around 0.6 inches. And I hate to bag on OWC because I actually really like OWC, and I think they make great products, great accessories for the Mac. But their chief, Larry O'Connor, said they've been developing this concept for over 3 years, and they felt like it was time to release it. And I'm like, dude, you've been working on that thing for 3 years? Like, why is it so thick? How is it that Apple can make an entire computer?
With a motherboard and the screen and the keyboard on it, and yours is twice as thick as that.
Yeah, right. They're making a whole computer. All you're doing is including a freaking SSD drive. Yes, and a few USB ports. Yes. How is it possible that you're making it so thick?
I was wondering.
I was kind of a little bit embarrassed.
I thought at first, like, oh, well, it's got to have like batteries in it too. Like, it, you know, increases the battery life. No, it doesn't do that. It's just straight ports, and that's all it adds, and storage. Which I could see people like using it, like slapping a battery pack on their MacBook Pro. I could maybe see that. That would probably be more useful than that thing.
So it basically adds in a whole slew of connections that your Mac lost when, you know, we got the new MacBook Pros.
Mm-hmm. But they were working on it for 3 years. So
they were working on that thing for 3 years.
They didn't even know that it was going to be needed until this year. They were like, oh, yeah, we got to get that thing out.
Awesome. We got to get the deck out. I got to break out the deck. Everyone's going to be wowed by the deck. Are you guys ready? Let's drop it like it's hot. Yeah, so the deck, it doesn't have a release date yet or pricing info, so that is to be determined. But we will link to this in the show notes, and you can take a gander for yourself. Maybe we're being too harsh. We're being pretty harsh this episode so far. But
I'm a hard man to please, so.
I think we both kind of are. And I think we would be doing everyone a disservice if we were just like, you know, not being honest about some of these products that we're seeing out there. And it is one of those years. I mean, if you've listened to this show for a while, you know, in years past, we have gone to CES and we have ranted and raved about some of the cool products that we have seen. One of the most immediate ones that came to mind was the BMW i3, which I got to drive like 3 years ago before it came out. And that was an unbelievable piece of tech, a super cool car, and I was grinning from ear to ear when I got to drive it. And I came away from that CES, particularly that year, thinking about all the cool gadgets that we had seen. So it's there are good years, there are off years. It's just like, you know, years with Apple, like where sometimes they wow us, and sometimes it's like this year where it just, you know, or I should say 2016, where it just didn't really come together in an exciting way.
Mm-hmm.
But let's move on to the tech we're excited about in 2017. Let's look ahead to 2017. What's really titillating you, my friend?
I think floating cameras are going to be a big thing. Selfie drones, big thing in 2017 by the end of it.
Floating cameras, okay.
Yeah, because I mean...
You don't mean like drones in general. Like you specifically mean...
Floating selfie
cameras. That follow you around.
Yeah, like... Okay. Because, you know, the Mavic is a serious drone. Even though it's super compact and small, you can use it as, like, you could bust it out just to take a selfie. But I think there's going to be a lot of other really small drones that have, like, 4K and, like, a 12-megapixel sensor that you can just basically carry almost in your pocket and bust out and take, like, a quick picture. Not something you want to, like, fly around mountains with, but just basically like a selfie stick drone style.
I've already seen a couple of these out there that are pretty small. I mean, are there any that you can name off the top of your head?
I've been testing the Hover camera or the Passport camera from Hover. Hover Passport camera. Mm-hmm. It's like it's a foldable drone. Like the wings fold in, and it only has like 10 minutes of battery life. The camera's not great. The range isn't great for like flying, but it's awesome. Like if you just want to like. If you're like I'm hiking or something and just want to take a quick picture like a selfie, instead of busting out a selfie stick, you pull out the wings and like just float this thing a little bit farther from you and then take your picture from your phone and stuff. So like that one's super cool, and it's only got
10 minutes of battery life though. That's rough.
It's like 10 to 12, but you can swap out, like it comes with two batteries. So you can swap them out really quick. And also you're
not... So it's really just meant to be a floating tripod, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. Like, I mean, you're not supposed... I mean, you can fly it around. Like, I had it auto-follow me, like, on my skateboard one time, and it worked pretty well. But I think for the most part, you just want to use it for just really quick, short pictures or videos.
Interesting. I've seen a few of those out there, and I thought to myself, who would use one of these? Why would you want to use one of these? But hearing you describe it, it does kind of make sense, especially if you're like hiking or something.
Or just out in the city or whatever, you know, and you want to get a picture with your friends and not ask somebody to make some terrible picture, get some, you know, crappy picture for you.
Can you imagine, though? I mean, you're like trying to get a selfie, and instead of asking someone to take a picture, like you're like the guy next to you, like all of a sudden is getting out a drone and he's flying it into the air to take a picture with his friends. Like, what?
Well, I think if once they become small enough and innocuous enough, like then people won't mind them as much. Like now, yeah, it definitely seems silly, but I think these things will get like super like small, like palm sized.
Well, as long as we're talking about drones, it's no secret that Buster and I are pretty avid drone fans. I think that's fair to say. And I'm excited for 2017 because I think 2017 is going to be the year of the drone.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, they're just getting to be more powerful all the time, more intuitive to use all the time. And DJI, who's leading the pack as far as developing cool new drone technology, is licensing their technology to other manufacturers. I mean, they're really aggressive, man, and they're coming out with new products constantly.
Yeah.
And cool, exciting new products.
Right. They're always changing it up, adding new features. Like, they're innovating faster than Apple is now, you know? Like, they're, I think, one of the only companies that's really, like, coming out with, like, good stuff each time they come out with a product announcement, which is almost like every 3 months they're coming out with something new.
They're always announcing, as you said, exciting new stuff, stuff that is not just marginally better than, you know, the iterations that or that were before it.
Yeah.
And they're coming out with new products all the time.
I think what's great about DJI is they understand, like you're saying, they're going to license out their software, and their software is amazing. Like, is what sets them apart from other drone companies, I think, is it's super easy to use and fly their stuff, and you know, their hardware is great, but like, I would take a drone powered by DJI's software over like DJI's hardware for sure. It's kind of like you know, if you could use iOS on like a sexy Android phone, like that's what I would go for. I think they're making like the best droning software.
Yeah, if they had other manufacturers who were able to build their own hardware but use DJI's software, mm-hmm. that would bring the price of drones way down because you'd have more competition.
Yeah.
People trying to build, you know, different drone hardware. But you'd still be able to fly with that DJI experience, which is so polished now
mm-hmm.
and so intuitive to use. I'm just excited about it. I think flying a drone is fun. There's all these new applications that are coming out for it all the time, and there's stuff that we haven't even thought of or imagined yet that people are going to be using drones for.
Yeah, I think that's so, kind of what's the most interesting thing is they're becoming very like task oriented. You know, like flying a drone, like flying the Maverick and like getting pictures, that's fun for me. But I also think like in 2017, by the end of it, we're going to see more like commercial applications for drones, which they already have. You know, you go out and check something instead of sending like an employee out, you send a drone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. Everybody's talking about delivery drones. I'm talking about the selfie drone's going to be huge for photography. I think there's all kinds of weird ways that we're going to use them in the future that we don't, like you say, don't really consider.
Dude, check this out. I think you're right, and we might not be looking at 2017 for this. Kind yeah. of. Thing to be possible, but like if we all have drones, which might sound silly, but they're going to get to a point where they're super cheap. Imagine if you could send your drone over to your buddy's house to pick something up for you, which I don't think is outrageous. If you had a drone with a great battery, it could go over to someone's house, have like a little basket in it, and you wouldn't even have to fly it. In fact, DJI announced a new iPad app at CES that lets you basically plot a bunch of GPS points and then hit go. And your drone will just go fly that route. And you don't even have to do anything, right?
Yeah.
So it'd be super cool if you could use your drone, as you mentioned, to go perform tasks for you. If I could, like, sick mine on Leander, that'd mm-hmm. be super cool. I'd be like, go to this GPS location and dive bomb this man and film it. I'd pay double for a drone that could do that. What else? What else? What other technology is exciting you?
You know, so virtual reality, I think, is getting more exciting, but I don't think it's going to be there for like everyday users yet by the end of the year. But mm-hmm. I do think we're going to start seeing more augmented reality. You know, there's rumors that Apple's looking into getting into augmented reality a lot, which they could do pretty easy with their camera app and making it opening it up so you could do weird stuff with the camera and see different things. So I think augmented reality, like that's what I'm really interested to see where Apple's play is going to go with augmented reality and if we see that this year.
I really hope they release something or that does augmented reality.
Yeah, even if it's I just think software that Tim Cook, or something.
He's indicated that they're working on it too.
Right.
And he's mentioned several times that it could be a big thing and they're definitely interested in it. So I think augmented reality is super interesting. In fact, I get to test out the Microsoft HoloLens this next Wednesday. Oh, do you?
Yeah, so stuff like that is like what I'm really interested in. Like the HoloLens looks really cool. I mean, it looks dorky as hell, but like the experience looks pretty interesting.
Can you imagine being able to put on a headset and have like your TV in there
mm-hmm.
and other information floating around and just to have like a heads-up display right on your face to do all these like, you know, internet things that we can't even imagine yet. I think that's pretty exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And the demonstration, I always refer to this demonstration that Microsoft gave of the HoloLens where they showed some guy playing Minecraft and it was augmented reality, right? So he's like building this Minecraft structure on a table in real reality, as they say. And then like the augmented part was like interacting with the table in these very cool ways. It was really exciting. I've got some other picks too. Before we continue, I want to give a big thanks to Blue Apron, A Better Way to Cook, for supporting this episode. So this is kind of cool.
Blue Apron?
Have you heard of Blue Apron?
Yeah, I've used Blue Apron.
Oh, you have?
Yeah.
Fantastic. And did you find it to be easy and delicious?
Easy and delicious. I'm just bad. Yeah, it's great because it ships it straight to your door. You know, even like meats and stuff and vegetables. It's like all in like a sealed bag. And, you know, sometimes it's like iced and everything. So it comes like, you know, like you just got it from the grocery store and you got everything and you got the instructions that come with it. So you can try it again, try cooking it again on your own if you want to later. So you just kind of work on building up your cooking skills too.
Yeah, I think this is a really good idea. So Blue Apron will ship food to your door, and they include all the ingredients that you need to cook for yourself. And so if you are in a family where you just don't have a lot of time and you don't want to like be eating at Kentucky Fried Chicken all the time, you know, like you want to make like delicious meals that aren't like fast food, and you want to cook with your family, right? That's like a cool experience. They will ship you all the ingredients you need, and the ingredients are humanely raised, like the beef and the chicken and stuff. Chickens are free range. The pork is raised naturally, and they buy from farms that have regenerative farming practices to like create their produce. So that makes you feel good that you're getting high quality food, you know, and animals that are treated well. And some of the meals they have available in January are seared pork chops with farro and cranberry chutney, spaghetti squash with marinara and mushrooms and garlic knots. Ooh, dude, garlic knots are so good. Spicy shrimp and Korean cakes with cabbage and fury cake. Or is it fury kaki?
Fury kaki.
Fury kaki. That sounds like something that you'd want to eat. Fury cake. It sounds delicious. So if you want to check it out yourself, this is a freaking bomb deal. Ready for this?
Mm.
You can check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free with free shipping.
Nice.
So basically, you're getting three free meals if you do this. Go to blueapron.com, BLUE apron, APRON.com/cultcast to get started. You will love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait, blueapron.com/cultcast. Man, I think that 2017 is going to be a big year for portable electric transportation devices.
True.
And we've talked about these before, and I think this market is on the verge of blowing up, right? Because you got
electric
Tesla's Gigafactory coming online. What's that?
Oh, are you talking? You're talking like electric cars?
Well, I was going to talk about electric cars, but I'm talking about skateboards, Segways, hoverboards.
Everything electric now.
Everything electric. Yeah, it just seems like everyone has finally come to a place where they want to create electric gadgets, battery-powered gadgets for transportation.
It's like the motors are small enough now and the battery life is good enough where it makes sense. I think that's kind of the two things that have merged together at the perfect time. Because it's like, man, why haven't we had electric skateboards forever? It just feels... When you're riding
bikes or electric bikes.
Yeah, you're like, oh, like this, I should have had this in the 80s, you know?
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. And now that the Gigafactory is coming online, so Tesla's Gigafactory is finally starting to produce batteries out of that huge plant they built in Nevada. The purpose of that plant was, A, to create enough batteries so Tesla could, you know, include them in all their cars, but also to increase production levels to enough where the prices of the battery would significantly decrease. And if that happens, if we see a huge drop in the price of batteries, because, you know, lithium polymer, lithium ion batteries are very expensive, arguably the most expensive part in any of these devices are the battery packs, then you could start seeing a huge increase in the amount of electric devices that you can use to get around. And my dudes, if you have never used a Segway, like the Segway Mini Pro, a hoverboard, an electric skateboard, an electric bicycle, you are going to have your mind blown. Mm-hmm. They are so much fun to roll around on, and they're really torquey. So you can get going from 0 to like 15 miles an hour really quickly, probably actually more quickly than you would like, especially if you're a beginner. And you'll just have a blast just slicing all day across the roads like Buster does on his skateboard that he just broke.
Yeah. Rest its soul.
Do you know what's wrong with it? Did you say?
Like the when I try and charge it, the motor, it's like I think one of the chips got wet or something because the motor goes no matter what, like when it's charging.
R.I.P.
Yeah.
R.I.P. Buster's electric skateboard and the camera. That you just got.
Yeah.
But, we could do a whole segment on the stuff that Buster's broken.
Yep.
So that's the stuff I'm really excited about. That and electric cars. We're going to start seeing some really cool electric cars at the markets. The Chevy Bolt is finally coming online. The Tesla Model 3, I think, is scheduled to start shipping this year. And it's just an exciting time to like electric transportation. I think at least in the U.S., we're going to be moving to that in a big way. And if you don't need to have a car, you know, something like a Segway Mini Pro or an electric skateboard might be perfect for you just to kind of get around. And like I said, dude, I mean, you pimped that electric skateboard as one of your most fun items of 2016, didn't you?
Yeah, so fun.
Dude, there's so much fun just being able to, like, dart about on a piece of technology that you don't even have to work.
I know. That's the nice thing is you don't have to expend energy. Like, I love, like, cruising around on that skateboard and rolling past other skateboarders as they're kicking and pushing, and I'm just like...
Right.
I'm like, let's race, bro.
I did that when I was reviewing that electric bike and from Curry Tech.
Mm-hmm.
That thing was so fast, and we have this trail in Seattle called the Burke Gilman Trail where all like the hardcore biker guys, you know, like the guys whose calves are even bigger than Buster's, go to ride their bikes, and they're in like the full on biker gear with the aerodynamic helmets, right? And they're on these like $3,000 bicycles. So I was riding this Curry Tech bike. I'm in like a hoodie and my jeans, and I'm just casually pedaling, but these electric bikes amplify your leg power. So you can get going 20, 25 miles an hour without hardly any effort on your part at all. So I was bombing down this trail, and I was starting to creep on this guy riding this racing bike. And I just kind of pulled up on his left and just kind of like casually turned to him and just go, on your left. And I just bombed past him, right? And I'm just like barely pedaling at all. You know, electric bikes used to be $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, and now you can get them for $1,000, $2,000 for decent bikes. They're coming down so fast. I think 2017 is going to be the year a lot of this stuff starts becoming really affordable because it was just too cost prohibitive, you know, in the last couple of years. I mean, shoot, that Curry Tech bike I reviewed was 3 years ago, I think.
Yeah.
And now I'm just starting to see some more electric bikes hit the market more regularly. In fact, if there's this great YouTube channel, if you're ever interested in seeing more electric bike reviews, there's this great YouTube channel called Electric Bike Reviews. And this guy, all he does is review electric bikes. And he's done like 100, 200 videos just on electric bikes, maybe more. So it's a great reference if you're interested in learning more about electric bikes and what's out there and what the differences are between them and that type of thing. What else you got for me, Buster?
Shiz. I don't think I got anything else. I can't.
I'm excited for the new Xbox Scorpio, Project Scorpio. God.
Yeah.
That's gonna blow the walls off.
Nerds.
So to speak. Nerds. So Xbox has this, not really secret, but secretive project called Project Scorpio that everyone knows about, but they don't really know exactly what they're getting. It's a new Xbox One console that's just going to be just supercharged. You know, it's going to have turbos, and it's supposed to do 4K and VR and maybe 4K VR. Who knows? But we don't know any details about it yet, really, besides the fact that it's going to be like, you know, almost as powerful as a pretty decent gaming PC, PC Master Race. So
is it gonna work?
We'll have to wait and see about that. You know, I don't know. I don't know if HoloLens is gonna be a gaming product. Quite honestly, I have heard from different people at Microsoft that it may not be aimed at gaming at all. In fact, it may just be used for like business applications or something. So I guess we'll have to wait and see on that. But we have to see what Microsoft's VR strategy is too, because they haven't really revealed exactly what they're going to do, if they're going to come out with their own product, if they're just going to continue working with like Oculus or something.
Yeah.
So we don't really know what they're going to do there yet, but I would imagine we're going to start hearing more about that soon, maybe in March or something. Oh, shoot. And one of the other big 2017 products, the Nintendo Switch.
Oh, that does look cool. Yeah.
Looks cool. And it's definitely something I'm going to pre-order as soon as it goes on sale. And I think that those are going to go on sale in March of 2017. So it's going to be a good year for tech. Oh, and one last thing. Finally, we're starting to see the proliferation of HomeKit products. We've seen some cool stuff show up at CES this year, like Ring released a motion light with a security camera built in that integrates with HomeKit. And I'm sure as days pass and we get past CES and we're able to sift through more of this stuff, there's going to be a lot of other cool HomeKit products that will be revealed, or that we'll be able to unearth, I should say. And I'm really excited about that stuff, because the more HomeKit stuff I get in my house, the cooler my house becomes. I mean, I can do so many things in an automated fashion now, or activate things via the Amazon Echo or via Siri. It's just kind of cool to be able to give your house voice commands and have it do things for you. I need to get my hands on some smart locks. That's going to be that's going to be the next thing.
Yeah, those are, I've tried those a smart lock before, and it didn't work well with my door. But now that was like 2 or 3 years ago. So now I'm sure the tech's ready.
Probably a lot better. Which one was it? Do you remember?
It was one of the first ones, and it was like a Kickstarter. So it took like a year for me to get it too.
It wasn't the Lockatron, was it?
It was the Lockatron. Yeah.
Was it really? Yeah. And that one didn't work for you.
It didn't work that well for me.
Well, shoot, man, they're probably on like iteration 2 or 3 of that now.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was early days in smart locks.
Yeah, I was super hyped for it.
That was one of the first ones.
The August smart lock is supposed to work really well.
That was one of the ones I wanted to try.
Yeah,
that one looks nice too. I kind of like the industrial design of that one.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, let's go ahead and move on to what Apple can do better in 2017. It was a pretty mild year. Not terribly exciting year for Apple in 2016.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of room for improvement. Let's phrase it that way.
Lots. So much room.
And by that, I mean, if they want to excite us, if they want to delight us, you know, Apple's internal moniker at the, I don't know if it's just at the Apple retail stores or if it's company-wide, is to surprise and delight, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you find that experience a lot when you go into the Apple store and they fix something that you didn't think that they would fix. And you get that, you know, that, wow, Apple really is a cool company feeling when they surprise and delight you. What can Apple do better in 2017? What do you think is one of the most important things, Buster?
Update their shit. That's the number one thing. Like that, like when you say like 2016 was disappointing, and it was. It wasn't disappointing because Apple didn't come out with like a gee whiz, that's an amazing new gadget or new product. Like, I don't think that's why people were disappointed as much. It was just like Apple just didn't even bother updating a lot of their machines that could have been updated, like the Mac, the iMac, Mac Pro, you know, the MacBook Pro could have been better, I thought. So I think I would just like to see everything get updated. That would be nice.
I think that's exactly it. If they would have just, dude, we said this
like
probably.
They could have, yeah, you know. They,
10 times in the last 2 months.
Just shoot for par. They don't have to go for like, you know, a hole in one or, you know, knock it out of the park every time. But it just, I think, pisses their fans off. That it's like, what, do you guys just not care? Or what, like, it's just confusing why Apple didn't do that much this last year.
It really is. And I don't know if we'll ever know why we didn't get regular updates, especially for the Mac line. But that's exactly it, is they just didn't really update very much. The products they did update, I thought, were fine. They weren't exciting. They didn't have that gee whiz factor, as you eloquently put it. And I think we could use some more gee whiz, quite honestly. But I would have just been happy with Golly G.
Golly G, that's a nice new MacBook.
Yeah, like, golly gee, oh, you know, man. It's not the best MacBook I've ever seen, but I could consider, you know, they updated
it. Yeah, like, oh, I could consider buying a Mac Mini now that it's been updated for the first time in 3 years. You know, it's
exactly. And the PC marketplace moves so fast. There's always so many updates coming out. Same with the Android, the world of Android, that it really is tough to stomach when Apple doesn't release a computer or doesn't update a computer for 2 years.
Right.
I mean, it kind of makes you look at their computers, and they're like horse-drawn buggies, and everyone else is coming out with like Model Ts.
Yeah.
And Apple's like, well, yeah, we really improved the wheels in our horse-drawn buggy. And you're like, well, that's great, but we need some more regular improvements you at least got to keep up with the times. Like, we need something more significant. We need some more regular updates coming out. And that's the big thing. I really hope for 2017 we see the Mac lineup across the board get refreshed in a significant way with better hardware. And we could really use some more G-Wiz. I would love to see some G-Wiz sprinkled in there from something. Yeah. I mean, just give us one G-Wiz, Apple. That would be great. Like, wow, gee whiz, they came up with that product? We didn't even expect that. That would be...
And it doesn't have to be anything crazy. I think simple products, too, you know?
Yeah.
Even like, an updated Apple TV remote would be phenomenal. Like...
yeah, right. Just give us something. I do have to say, there is some gee whiz factor in the AirPods. I finally got my hands on some AirPods, and there's definitely some gee whiz built in.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't really want to give my full review yet because I haven't been using them long enough to really form solid opinions, but there's some G-Wiz. They're definitely not perfect products. In fact, maybe next week we can talk about my experience with the AirPods. I don't want to do it now because, like I said, I haven't been using them long enough, and plus we've spent so much time talking about AirPods the last 2 weeks. I don't want to keep hammering on them, but they are cool. They are very cool. And I will give people a tip. If you're still looking for AirPods, because I know they're sold out everywhere still, even now, I used AirPods.isinstock.com. I need to double check that URL, and I'll put it in the show notes in case you want to check it out. And what you can do is, AirPods.isinstock.com. You can enter in your store information, your local store information, and then this website will actually email you as soon as your store gets stock in. And that's what I did, and within 2 days I got an email and it said, your store is in stock. So I went onto Apple's website, locked them down, ordered them for pickup in that store, and went and picked them up, and like within 10 minutes the store was completely sold out. So you got to act fast, but that's the best way that I have found to actually lock some down, and it worked for me. So if you're still looking for some, AirPods.isinstock.com. They're cool, magical. Yes, I would say there's some magic factor there, but they're not perfect. And I've run into some issues with them that I'll be discussing. We'll do that. We'll do that next week. So yeah, new Macs. I think that Apple really has to hit it out of the park with iPhone 8. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, it does seem like people are just uninterested. I think they got to find something to make people think that they need to upgrade their phone, because I don't feel that need, but I'd want to. But I'm kind of like, I'm like super hardcore about that. So I feel like if people like me, nerdy people like me, are not wanting to upgrade, like there's no chance, like for normal people, like my mom and dad or something, that they're going to be compelled by, you know, the latest iPhone if it doesn't have anything that's new or feels essential, you know?
Well, especially because people like your mom and dad, people like my parents, they go to people like us to ask, you know, should I get the new iPhone? What should I do? And if we're not excited about it, then normal people, as you call them, people that don't follow Apple, they're not going to be maybe as interested in buying Apple products either. They might even go Android or something.
Or, yeah.
So like, what do they know?
Yeah, they'll go with, like, whatever's, like, something cheaper. Like, oh, I don't need the iPhone. Right. That Android phone looks really nice, too.
Right, right. Yeah, and that's why I think Apple really has to hit it out of the park with iPhone 8. And we've seen a lot of rumors that they're going to be adding some pretty drastic changes to the iPhone 8, including glass front, glass back. you know, wireless charging, and not just like you lay your phone on a mat wireless charging, like it can charge it from across the room wireless charging, which would be,
I do think
that would be
game an unbelievable changer. Feature. Yeah. Like, imagine how nice that will be. Like to just go into, like you go into your friend's house and they have like the iPhone 8 and it's charged. Like, so like your phone like starts charging off of their charger. Like you don't even have to do anything. You just sit there. Like that'll be just magical, I think.
Amazing. Or if you could be like, hey, Siri, charge the phone. And Siri could, you know, just start charging itself.
Yeah.
That would be incredible. So that's my big hope for 2017. I just want to see Apple give us some golly gee and then sprinkle in a little jizz.
Little jizz, huh? Make it flavorful.
You try saying that quickly. It just doesn't work. Your tongue's not going to do it. It just goes to what it goes to. Sprinkling in a little gee whiz, as I was trying to say. and maybe giving us a new product, something that we're not expecting at all. But it's tough to say. I mean, is Apple working on something that is really going to surprise and shock us all? That's what Leander believes. Leander believes they're working on a car. And we've seen stories that Apple has abandoned the car. We've seen stories that they're still working on the car. So I don't really know exactly what they're doing.
Yeah.
But I like to believe that Apple is working on something secretively that we know nothing about that is going to be a game changer, like their next big device. Mm-hmm. But like you, man, I would just be happy with... Hey man, the whole Mac line got updated in a significant way.
Yeah.
Enjoy.
And it looks good.
I'd be okay with that. Yeah. And it looks great.
It is. It really is the best Mac ever created.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Anything else? Or should we go ahead and wrap it up there?
Dude, I think, I would just say also software. I want better software this year from Apple. As much as just iOS. Like, I just feel like if they ever want the iPad to take off as a work machine, they need to basically give users more tools, more software tools, because there's just not any apps that are like phenomenal for business use on it or, you know, production.
I agree. They need to make iOS for iPad its own thing.
Yeah.
It needs to be differentiated from the phone, because the phone is not a productivity device, right? And if they want people to take the iPad Pro seriously as a productivity device,
it needs to be
more like the Mac.
Yeah, it needs to be more than just a blown up iPhone interface. And that's my biggest problem with it. Like, I tried really hard to make it work, and it's just a big iPhone. And like for a while, like Apple was like, "Oh, that's awesome." Like it is a big iPhone. It's like, it needs to be more than just a big iPhone now.
I mean, maybe if you're just like a student creating documents and stuff, maybe that would work.
Yeah, even then, it's still just weak, like in some areas. Like photo editing, okay. Video editing, crappy. It's not like, I don't know, word processing is okay on it, but it's not the best. There's just all kinds
of... There are always people that say that it works well. In fact, I'll probably get some tweets about this very thing. But all those people have all these crazy work processes they have to figure out in order to make everything work as well as they want it to. And even then, it doesn't work as well as a Mac.
Yeah.
I hate to say this, but they need to make it more like a Surface Pro.
Yeah, a little bit. Or at least just change the UI so that, you know, a more horizontal oriented or whatever, a portrait landscape oriented UI instead of like now it's vertical with the iPad, so it just feels like a big iPhone.
Right.
So if they did have it more like the Mac or Mac OS, because that's horizontal, I think it would, I feel like it would feel better. And also they need to bring Xcode to the iPad so that developers can make apps with the iPad. Because I don't think developers are going to make great iPad apps until they're using it as their workstations too.
That's the thing, is everyone keeps saying that the iPad, you know, will work well as a productivity device, but who's actually using it as a productivity device? Tim Cook's not, that's for sure.
Well,
right? He's probably got like a new iMac.
It's a good email machine. If your work is email, like probably Tim Cook's work is probably mostly email, then maybe it is good. But I mean, even for me, I would use it and it would be just fine for writing posts in the back of WordPress in Safari. But if I wanted to do something like create a GIF from a video and stuff like that, it's like, oh, you had to find so many like stupid workarounds to do it. It was ridiculous.
Exactly. There's no straightforward way to just make the damn thing work. There's always got to be workarounds.
Yeah.
And then eventually you end up, you know, running into an obstacle that you can't work around, and then you end up switching back to a Mac like you just did.
Mm-hmm.
Like we tried to podcast, you were on your iPad, and it's like, oh, I can't plug a mic into this machine. Never mind.
Yeah, I can't power.
Guess this isn't gonna work.
And like, you can't have two audio streams at the same time on it. Like, I was looking, even Vitici from Mac Stories. I was looking at like his big like iPad workflows, and he even can't find a way to work podcasting in with his iPad Pro. So it is just literally impossible to do some things with it.
And it's like, and who wants to spend all their time figuring out how to do all that crap?
Right.
Just buy a Mac.
Go.
Problem solved.
Get a Mac.
There you go. Alrighty. Well, with that, let's go ahead and wrap it up there. But you know what, dudes? I would love to hear from you. What is the technology that you're most excited about in 2017? What do you think Apple can do better? You could tweet either myself or Buster. I'm at Erfon, E-R-F-O-N. Buster is B-S-T-3-R. We're also going to put a topic up at thecultcast.reddit.com so you can post your comments there. I'm genuinely curious to hear what you guys think. Are we being too hard on CES 2017? I don't think so. I think we probably could have gotten a bit harsher, but that's all the time we had for it. In any case, we would love to hear from you. That's all the Cultcast we have for you guys this week. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you dudes and ladies, the 10 of you ladies out there, we appreciate you all, next time.
Ooh, yeah. So sensual.
Yes, I'm not tired. But start off 2017 sensually. Sensually. It's going to be a sensual year for us all.
Nice.
Did you like Limp Bizkit?
Oh, yeah, I did. I liked Limp Bizkit for a couple of years, and I'm ashamed to admit it. It was one of those high school bands that I liked, though, you know? So your music tastes in high school, they're not perfected yet, so don't judge me.
Oh, my gosh, look who it is. Look who it is.
Oh, is it Lewis? Sick Lewis.
It's sick. Yeah. Oh, sick Lewis.
He sounds sick.
Yeah, I don't
or
know,
is
man.
Or like, sick. Like, he thinks he's just so cool.
It's like, sick.
Dude, that's what happens when you share an office with Leander.
I got the CES plague without even going to CES.
Dude, you sound terrible. You can't do the show. Are you serious? You want to do it?
No, I don't think I should.
No, yeah, I don't think horrible. You should either, man.
I just wanted to give you, audio evidence a little bit below the woofed weather.
I mean, I think you should actually just hang up and go to the ER.